For WMRA News, I'm Dan Easley. Early voting begins in the Commonwealth, a day-long celebration of the arts takes over downtown Harrisonburg, and there's a new law encouraging nuclear energy. This is the WMRA Daily for Friday, May 3rd. Early voting begins today for Virginia's congressional primaries and other local races. VPM News editor Dave Cantor has more.
Early voting runs through June 15th at local registrars' offices across the Commonwealth. To cast an in-person ballot, residents need to visit their local office with appropriate ID, something like a driver's license, military, or student ID. If an absentee ballot's been requested, those are being sent out beginning today. The deadline to request one is June 7th, and they can be dropped off on primary day or mailed with a postmark no later than June 18th. Primary election winners will be on the ballot for the November general election. A list of candidates competing in the primaries can be found at elections.virginia.gov. If you've got a question, call the State Department of Elections at 1-800-552-9745. Dave Cantor, VPM News.
Most states in the Chesapeake Bay watershed will not meet federal pollution standards by a 2025 deadline. Catherine Hafner with partner station WHRO News reports on Virginia's progress.
Virginia and other states that touch the bay have been working for over a decade to reduce pollution from things like agriculture and sewage plants. They're racing to meet 2025 benchmarks set by the Environmental Protection Agency. Officials have already acknowledged that won't happen. Here's Hillary Falk with the Chesapeake Bay Foundation last year.
We have a lot of work to do to restore clean water to the Chesapeake Bay and address the impacts of climate change.
Since then, the Chesapeake Bay program says Virginia has fully achieved targets on pollution specifically from sediment, which often happens from erosion. But the Commonwealth still needs to reduce more nitrogen and phosphorus. Those nutrients wash off farms or urban land and make the water less livable for marine plants and animals.
That was Catherine Hafner with partner station WHRO News. Student organizer Serene Haddad was hospitalized after a protest at VCU. She had multiple bruises on her face and her arm was in a sling.
My arm was taken and twisted behind my back as I was thrown to the ground.
Haddad said over 100 of her family members have been killed in Palestine.
Recall why we were here in the first place, for the people of Gaza, for the people of Palestine that are suffering this amount of brutality every single day in their daily lives. We got a little bit of a taste of it, and it was horrendous.
Six VCU students were among 13 people arrested Monday. The group urged students to show up at their arraignment Friday morning and to call the Commonwealth's attorney to demand all charges be dropped. A suit against Dominion Energy and the Biden administration claims there hasn't been enough research into an offshore Virginia wind project to assess its potential impact on the endangered North Atlantic right whale. A D.C. District Court judge will rule on the possible injunction May 9th, according to the maritime industry publication Workboat. Dominion says its project, which was scheduled to begin May 6th, would offer zero carbon power for up to 660,000 customers at peak output. In a press release, the utility added its wind project is, quote, compliant with all legal requirements. Starting this summer, Virginia will have a new law encouraging nuclear energy. Michael Pope has more on how the costs will be covered.
Customers of Dominion Energy and Appalachian Power might soon start seeing higher electric bills. That's because of a new law signed by Governor Glenn Youngkin that allows for utilities to make customers pay for the cost of developing nuclear power facilities. Things like permitting, for example. The bill was introduced by Senator Dave Marsden of Fairfax County.
Ratepayers could be responsible for $1.40 a month for up to 5 years in creating the funds necessary to get through the Nuclear Regulatory Commission process, which is hugely expensive. It takes 4 to 5 years.
Utility customers don't usually pay for things like development, and Josephus Almond at the Southern Environmental Law Center says this poses a risk for ratepayers.
The risk is that customers are footing the bill for this development, you know, several years, and if it doesn't come to fruition, then they've just spent $500 million or $125 million, depending on the utility you're talking about, going towards development of something that will never benefit them.
The new law goes into effect July the 1st, but utilities would need to have any plans approved by the State Corporation Commission. Meanwhile, the clock is ticking on the goal for Virginia to be emissions free by 2050, a benchmark laid out in the Virginia Clean Economy Act. I'm Michael Pope.
This Saturday, a day-long celebration of art takes over downtown Harrisonburg with free performances and activities. WMRA's Randy B. Hagee reports.
The Day of the Arts kicks off the morning of May 4th with chalk art outside Asbury United Methodist Church, interactive mural painting at Court Square Theater, and a screening of a Frida Kahlo documentary. Free programs throughout the day will showcase a range of art forms, from improv comedy to mosaics to dance. Then, at 7:30, Dr. Howe and the Reasons to Live take the stage. Chris Howdyshell and the band have been playing music together for more than 20 years. This show will give attendees a behind-the-scenes look at what inspires their songs.
There's five songwriters in our band, so this is an opportunity for us to talk up the stories behind the songs and, you know, tell the tale.
Take the song Cross Your Fingers, for example.
It is inspired by a book that I had found in the library when I was in kindergarten at Audubon Elementary School. Cross your fingers, spit in your hat. So later in my life, I decided to use those words for a song about love and luck. And then I started reading Alan Watts, and so I was like, oh, let's write a song about love and Zen. Cross your fingers, spit in your hat. Love has a way to work out like that, kind of formed from that.
He describes their sound as Americana, where folk meets country meets storytelling, but they have a tendency to rock.
This is us playing songs we wrote, and it's our hearts out there on the sleeves, you know, and I'm excited to do something different for the people of Harrisonburg, and it's free, so come on.
The festivities are supported by the Community Foundation of Harrisonburg and Rockingham Counties, Erlen J. Miller Fund for the Arts. For WMRE News, I'm Randy B. Hagee.
Find the full schedule of events at WMRA.org and on the WMRA app. Protests roiled college campuses this past week and stirred up Virginia politicians, too. Jeff Shapiro, political columnist at the Richmond Times-Dispatch, and Michael Pope recap the week in politics and state government.
All right, so a lot going on this week, including pro-Palestinian supporters doing student demonstrations at Virginia Tech, Virginia Commonwealth University, Christopher Newport University, the University of Mary Washington. Jeff Shapiro, this has been all over Virginia, and it has political ramifications, right? Republicans are eager to jump on the law and order bandwagon.
And Democrats are eager to jump on the free speech bandwagon. Also, some pointing out instances in which the police were called in to clear out protests. Witness Virginia Commonwealth University here in Richmond, that police went too far. In contrast with, say, the protests at the University of Virginia, which have been fairly quiet, fairly peaceful, fairly understated. Governor Youngkin is traveling in Europe on a trade trip and made himself available to the national press to talk about what's going on in Virginia. And he made it very clear that there has to be a balance here between constitutional rights to free speech and constitutional protections, in particular, safety and security on college campuses.
So now that Florida's abortion ban is in place, Virginia is the lone state in the South where abortion rights are still available. Jeff Shapiro, what are the political ramifications for that?
Well, here's an opportunity heading into a presidential year in Virginia, likely to be a blue state, to further energize Democratic voters and maybe Republican leaners and Republicans who are supportive of abortion rights. But the spillover effect will probably be greatest in 2025 when Virginia elects a new governor, a new lieutenant governor, a new attorney general, and determines the makeup of the House of Delegates. That Virginia is the only state in the South in which abortion rights are essentially unrestricted is very much a reminder of what Virginia has become, a largely rural state with a very conservative tendency. It is now a largely suburban state with a very center-left tendency. Remember, the Republicans have tried to blur distinctions on this issue. The governor unsuccessfully proposing some sort of a compromise with a 16-week restriction ahead of the legislative elections. It clearly didn't work, and Democrats not only protected their majority in the Senate, they took back the House of Delegates.
And before we go, let me ask you to look ahead to 2025 when we've got the Democratic nomination for lieutenant governor. There seems to be a lot of movement in that race, as well as some uncertainty about all the statewide seats on the Republican side. What's the latest on the politics of 2025?
Yes, the jostling and growing field for the Democratic nomination for lieutenant governor. The latest entrant is Ghazala Hashmi, a state senator from the Richmond area. She joins LeVar Stoney, Aaron Rouse, a state senator, and from Northern Virginia, Babur Latif, who is a member of the Prince William County School Board. We could have a fifth candidate in there, Delegate Sam Rasool, and there at least one announced, and perhaps two more candidates for the Democratic AG nomination. And then on the Republican side, everything could be up for grabs as soon as, and this is assuming if, the lieutenant governor Winsome Earl Sears and the Attorney General, Jason Mieres, sort out who is likely to be the nominee for governor on the Republican side. So many, many moving parts, and a good deal of it likely to be shaped by the outcome of the presidential election in November.
All right. That's all the time that we've got for this week. My name is Michael Pope, and we've been joined by the longtime columnist for the Richmond Times-Dispatch, whose birthday is today. So happy birthday, Jeff Shapiro.
Thank you very much. I'm happily entering my dotage.
For WMRA News, I'm Dan Easley. Thanks for listening.